Hi, it's Mark Rabin. Welcome to Lean Blog Audio. Today, I'm reading a post that I published on April 14th, 2024. It's titled, Embracing Challenges for Success, Lessons in Toyota Culture and Kaizen from Nate Ferruta. You can find the blog post at leanblog.org/audio364. So I've been reading and really enjoying a book released in late 2021. It was written by Kiyoshi or Nate Ferruta, a retired Toyota executive. That book is titled Welcome Problems, Find Success, Creating Toyota Cultures Around the World. Amazon reminded me I bought it about a year ago. I wish I had started reading it sooner. It's great. It has a foreword, by the way, written by John Shook. They clearly cross paths at the NUMMI plant. And John, of course, was at one point CEO of the Lean Enterprise Institute. Ferruta is the retired former chair and CEO of Toyota Boshoku America, Inc. They are an automotive parts supplier to companies including Toyota and General Motors. He had a long career within Toyota Motor Company. As it says on the Toyota Boshoku website that I've linked to in the post, we take pride in being a company driven by quality and Kaizen, or continuous improvement. The company was founded by Sakichi Toyota in 1918. You can also learn more about what they call their TB way. I've linked to that in the post. Ferruta was the first Toyota employee at the NUMMI joint venture between Toyota and GM. This would have been in the 1980s. He has a very unique perspective on creating Toyota cultures around the world, as the book's subtitle says. There are two things in particular I've highlighted a lot within the book, but I'm going to share a couple of things here in this post. One is a classic Taiichi Ono story. So the legendary Taiichi Ono, considered quite often as the creator of the Toyota production system, was at one of Toyota's factories in Japan. Ono was given data that showed that a long troubled crankshaft manufacturing line had some surprising improvement after it, quote, repeatedly had problems delivering on time. Well, even though, that sounds like great news, what was there to investigate? Well, Ono went to the Gemba, or the shop floor, to go and see. That's a Japanese phrase, Genshi Genbutsu. He was looking for facts, not just data. Ono wanted to know how that improvement had occurred, something that a management by results type leader might not care to explore. Ono wanted to know what could be shared elsewhere. Well, what did he find? As it says in the book, carefully examining the line, he realized that a manager had secretly built and hidden excess safety stock to cover up for the line's habitual delivery problems. Mr. Ono was, of course, furious that inventory was being increased rather than the real problem solved, and decided to take dramatic action. He ordered employees to bury the excess stock on the plant grounds. After he gave his order and left, the manager persuaded employees to again hide the excess. It didn't take long for Mr. Ono to find the excess stock once again, and this time he ordered it destroyed before his eyes. End of quote. So, building up safety stock to buffer against production downtime instead of fixing the root causes of that downtime. That's what I lived through during my first year working at a GM engine plant in 1995. They also made crankshafts and other engine components. Supervisors there had old habits of wanting to buffer everywhere and anywhere by pulling parts off the line anytime a machining station went down. This often created awkward, if not dangerous, conditions for production workers trying to move heavy engine blocks off of the line onto pallets. None of that was showing respect for people in a Toyota way. I chuckled when I read about Ono ordering them to bury the parts. I could also understand why the manager and employees wouldn't want to do that. It's pretty hardcore that Ono later ordered that inventory to be destroyed. And so, back during my time at GM, there in that culture, having the buffer stocks wasn't generally shameful, but it led to quality problems because sometimes an engine block that had been pulled off the line after what was called Operation 30 had to be stored somewhere off to the side. It should have been loaded back onto the line after Operation 30, before Operation 40. But sometimes people made a mistake and loaded the part onto the conveyor belt before Operation 50, which meant the part or parts, it was usually more than one if this mistake was made, had now skipped Operation 40, and that was a quality disaster. The only shame at GM about buffered parts was the holding of scrapped or defective engine blocks on pallets. Eventually, the cost of that material would have to be written off, but managers didn't want the defects to hit the books, so they played a game of hiding the inventory. I don't think anyone at GM ever thought to bury those parts. So the other thing I'm going to highlight here is about cultivating trust and safety at NUMMI. In the book, Furuta writes extensively about creating a problem-solving culture. However, while I was reading it, you know, Furuta didn't mention the need to help team members feel safe admitting problems, pointing them out, or sharing them. It seems like psychological safety is something that's a bit taken for granted at this point in Toyota's history, although it was called out specifically by Jeff Leiker and Mike Hoseas in their book Toyota Culture, as I blogged about previously, and I've linked to it in this post. Again, you can find it at leanblog.org/audio364. As Furuta wrote, managers need to not view problems negatively. It's implied that employees won't get in trouble for pointing out a problem or sharing an improvement idea. Furuta writes a lot about mutual trust and respect, as covered by Toyota people in other books. But the story from NUMMI, where they needed to change the old culture from the time when that building housed the JM Fremont plant, the story starts to piece it together, as it said in the book. The new Fremont management, meaning NUMMI management, I would add, trusted members enough to let them pull an add-on cord, which quickly illuminated that a problem existed and, not without consequence, stopped the production line. A stopped line can result in thousands of dollars of losses per minute. Management promised employees they would have the ability to stop the line if they encountered a problem, and management stuck to that promise. We told them that a member was responsible for pulling the add-on cord to alert management of a problem, and the line would stop if the problem could not be fixed immediately. Workers then started trusting their bosses enough to ask for help by pulling the add-on cord when there were problems. A team leader who was a union member would attempt to fix the problem before the situation warranted the line to stop, end of quote. So I think there we have it. Management trusted the team members. Therefore, team members started trusting management. The team members learned that management wouldn't scream at them for potentially stopping the line or part of the line. So pulling the add-on cord requires two things. One, psychological safety. You know, I won't get in trouble for doing so. And two, it requires problem solving. I would get discouraged if problems don't get fixed. Furuta writes about the need to address culture before teaching a lot of lean tools. This all seems to start with mutual trust and respect. Psychological safety, although not directly called out in those words by Furuta, problem solving, then advanced lean tools. How many organizations focus on the fancy tools or the exciting lean tools without first building a culture of PDCA or PDSA problem solving? And how many companies have spent a lot of time and money training people on problem solving without first focusing on psychological safety to help people feel safe enough to point out problems to begin with? You can read more about add-on cords at Toyota in another blog post that I've linked to. So as Furuta says often in the book, and he ends the book with these words, no problem, no Kaizen. So I hope you'll check out the book. Maybe some of us can do an online Zoom book club about it. It would be nice to take a deeper dive into all the insights there. So for my blog post, if you'd like to comment or share it with others or check out the other things I've linked to here, you can go to leanblog.org/audio364. Thanks for listening.